Welcome to the Full Press Packers Pod, part of Full Press Coverage. My name is Kyle Senra, and joining me is my co-host, Jesse Hall. How are you doing, Jesse?
I'm doing great. We finally get to know what happened instead of what if. So.
Yeah, true. Draft preview. Oh, draft's complete. Now it's the draft recap. And here to join us on this draft recap is TJ McKinley. So TJ, welcome very much. I know you are quite active on Twitter, see a lot, retweeting, doing a lot of things. So first off, appreciate the support you've given both the Full Press Packers and Fantasy Pod in the past, but welcome to the show.
Hello, how you doing?
Yeah, we're doing great. I think funny Packers
thanks
fans
for coming
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, Jesse. I should thank the guest. But I'm just so excited because it seems like Packers fans are finally excited about a draft for once.
Oh, really?
From what I gather, like, it's not as panned certainly as say 2020, for instance, but even compared to last year, I feel like the reception has been positive. Jesse, do you feel something similar?
Yeah, we always find things to complain about, but after day one, I think everybody saw it come together and we're pretty happy. I think so, at least. I don't hear a lot of negative.
All right, so before we get into the draft talk, TJ, is there anything you wanted to kind of let people know about you or any content you wanted to plug or anything that you'd like people to be aware of?
Hello, everybody. This is TJ McKinley. You can find me on Twitter at Mr. TJ Savage. I'm just on Twitter right now. I'm an up-and-comer in podcasting, but I've always enjoyed watching and bringing people together, like Full Packers podcast. So let's just get started.
All right, then. So starting off at the top of the NFL draft, crazy kind of way to start. 5 straight defensive players. I'm pretty sure the NFL record to start a draft from number one is 6 straight defensive players. I believe it was the 1991 draft where the first 6 picks were all on defense. So still fairly historic, which also showed there were really what looked like 5 elite immediate difference making players that teams just had to get on their roster. So we can kind of walk through who those players were.
That and no quarterbacks, right? Yeah. Quarterback class is historically not great.
That's true. 1 quarterback in the first round. The last time that happened was 2013, the EJ Manuel year. So frankly, I think we know maybe there's a reason that year why even EJ Manuel seems like a reach now in the first round, to be honest. So
Three DNs and 2 cornerbacks. That was a tough fight. 3 DNs and 2 cornerbacks.
And TJ, yep. I'm pretty sure 2 corners in the top 5 that's the first time that's ever happened in the NFL draft, unless I'm mistaken.
And the crazy part is the next 5 was 3 O-linemen and 2 receivers. That's crazy.
And then that's the top 10. And then even then, a couple more receivers went out right after the top 10. So, yeah, you had this stretch of defensive players. And then I think, 7 in a row on offense immediately after. So, course correction a little bit. A couple of those teams also picking twice within the top 12, too. So, maybe a little balance as well.
Yeah, well, you know, before we get into individual players, it kind of shows, how if someone makes a play on somebody, the rest of the league got to hurry up and get theirs. It's just all of a sudden it's hurry up and you can't wait anymore. We saw with, at the top of the draft with defense and right away with offense, it's one receiver goes, bam, there's a big run on it. And it happened in different rounds too. So it was a really fun draft just to see how everything fell into play.
So, yeah, so let's get to those individual players. So the first pick of the 2022 NFL draft made by the Jacksonville Jaguars. Hey, look at that. Back-to-back picks. The first pick was defensive end Trayvon Walker. It really did seem like there were 3 edge rushers that all could have been that first overall pick unless they chose to go offensive line. Jesse, we'll let the guest go first here to talk about the first pick. So Trayvon Walker. So TJ, what do you think about Walker and what did you think about him being the first overall pick compared to maybe some other edge rushers?
I think a lot of people were surprised by this pick because Trayvon Walker, coming off that Georgia defense, that's pretty, 15 players from one team? That's crazy. But I feel like he gonna be a starter day one. He a good pass rusher. He's smooth, edge. I think the Jaguars, I think everybody's looking to see to get them an O-lineman around Trevor Lawrence, like an Evan Neal or somebody like that. But I think they trying to be an overall good team, especially coming off that bad season. They have Urban Meyer and all that. But, yeah, I think this is a good pick, Trayvon Walker. It was shocking. I hope I'm saying his name right. It was a shocking pick, but that's good for them. What you think, Jesse?
Yeah, he was my favorite guy in the draft. He can thank Rashawn Gary because it's all upside with him, right? Like, this guy is crazy athlete. You just look at everything. He moves like a guy that's like 190 pounds. He wasn't asked to rush the quarterback all the time in college, but he can do it. He can do everything. Sky's the limit. He's going to be a great pro. Good pick. I thought he was a top three guy, and Jags are going with, I think, with the most upside, where your safer pick with the guys after him, he's got the most upside for sure.
It does seem like there wasn't really much talk of Trayvon as the number one overall pick until the combine happened. And then, yeah. And I believe he has a perfect 10 as a relative athletic score. I think there were only three people in this class who had a 10, and two of them went in the top 12. Where'd that other defensive tackle go? Top 13, right? So like you those elite athletes, like there was a premium put on them, and clearly the Jags thought that as well. Jesse, it seems like that safer pick maybe that you're referring to is Aiden Hutchinson, who went second to, unfortunately, their division rival, the Detroit Lions. So like that, I guess that is that was maybe the expected first overall pick for a lot of people, right? TJ, you were saying Trayvon Walker was a surprise. So Hutchinson seemed to be the one a lot of people were pegging, especially early in the draft process.
For everybody though, I'm a Browns fan. So I feel the Detroit pain. But we on Packers podcast. What are you talking about that? Well, yeah. So we on Aiden Hutchinson now? Detroit Lions?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Well, let's see. And he is he from hold on, is he from there?
Yep.
He's from Michigan, yes.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So they got them a whole time, but he gonna do good. He was projected to go number one, actually. But I feel like this good for them. Let's see. He need to get his speed up a little bit. He said he kind of slow. He not consistent on speed off the ball, but it's a hometown boy. I just hope Detroit don't fall into the, oh, he hometown, he going to be great. No. Please don't fall into that. No, he not going to. I hope he be like, what's it, Sue? They had a few years ago. How you say his name?
Yeah, no, I'm good, Sue. Yeah.
Yeah. I think they trying to get him to be like that. But yeah, he Detroit. He's solid. What you think, Jeff?
Yeah, no, he's a good player. He's a good athlete. You know, the only knock that people kind of had on him is he tapped out? You know, can he get bigger, or is he already at, you know, what is he at his ceiling? I don't think so, but he loves football, hard-nosed player, exactly what Detroit wants, you know, kid from the area. It's a good pick. It's the obvious pick. It was going to be either one of these guys, so I don't think they have any problem with him falling to him.
Yeah, and I just looked up. Not only did he play at Michigan, but he also is born in Michigan, Plymouth, Michigan, to be honest. So yeah, yep. You're right, hometown boy, TJ, like you're saying. And I guess yeah. So my thoughts to Hutchinson again, maybe the less athletic ceiling, but seems like the more well-rounded all-around game, kind of giving the higher floor, right? So yeah, I don't think, TJ, that they were going with, oh, the hometown guy, that'll be the main reason. Maybe that's a nice story to add on top, but it does feel like, again, if throughout the process, and we don't know what the Lions were thinking, what their war room has, like what they had as their big board. Seems obvious. So they had him as either their first or second guy. So they've clearly identified that. And again, a lot of mock drafting leading up to the draft seems to, like, I didn't really see very many mocks at all that had him falling outside the top two. Like if he wasn't going first, he was going second in almost every mock, unless you had the O lineman pushed up, maybe he, but even then, like, I don't think I ever saw him once go outside the top five. But speaking of top five, actually maybe a good transition on my part there. Two cornerbacks went in the top five. The first time that's ever happened to the NFL draft, I believe. So the Houston Texans selected Derek Stingley Jr. at number three. And then the very next pick, Ahmad Sauce Gardner went to the New York Jets. We can just take off the Ahmad. I think he wants to go by Sauce Gardner now. So but that's, I think, yep. That'll be his official name. But yeah, TJ, did you have many thoughts about either corners, like how they compared to each other? Were you at all surprised that Stingley was the first one and not Gardner?
Actually, a lot of people did. Like, was they bullying? A lot of people didn't. Texas fans didn't like that pick with Stingley from LSU. I don't know. That's what I've seen on Texas Twitter. But Derek, his name Derek. Derek, he's a good dude. He's not the best tackler. They say he's not aggressive when it comes to tackling, but he can cover though. He a good coverage player. The Texans, you know, with that Deshaun Watson scandal and all that, they need all the help they can get. They got some draft picks they picked up, but with this Stingley, I think that's a good start for them. I hope that's a good start for them, but they need all the help they can get. Stingley, he just need to get his own tackling up. The next draft pick, what is it, the Jets?
Gardner, the Jets.
Yeah, Cincinnati, Ohio. I ain't watched much Cincinnati games. I'm Ohio State boy, but he go be solid. I'm putting for him just because he's Ohio. But Jesse, what you think?
Yeah, so with Stingley, like you look at his freshman year, true freshman year. I mean, you just look at that tape. This is the best corner in football in 2019. Then he hasn't been healthy, like you said, with the tackling. You know, a lot of it I think was health. You know, didn't want to get physical. But, I mean, the traits are there. So, I thought he went high just because it's been 2 years since we saw that same player. But, again, a lot of it's, hey, you're going on high ceiling with these guys. You know, he's a top five pick based on athletic traits. But the last couple of years, I would have thought he was closer to a little bit. So, I'm not going to call it a reach. They're just – obviously, his medicals must have checked out for him. But high character player. Really good football player. I actually thought Sauce Gardner is the better pro right now for the, you know, just because he's been healthy. He's never given up a touchdown in his career. That's insane. I mean, I don't care who you are, cornerbacks. Sometimes you just get beat, right? Sauce Gardner has never given up a touchdown. Long, rangy. Only played 2 games.
No, 10.
But
in 2 seasons.
Oh yeah. Well, even in college, I mean, he's never given up a touchdown. I mean, high school, he's never given up a touchdown. He's just got all the traits you want. He's long, he's tall, 6'3" corner, but he's got really good hips. And he's just got that dog mentality. So I think he's the guy that you plug in right now, put him on his island, let him do his thing. He's just got that great mentality. So that was a good pick. I thought the Jets actually had the better pick here out of the two guys.
And again, looking at a lot of mock drafts, I didn't see Stingley ahead of Gardner very often. I also didn't see Stingley very much in the top 10, whereas it seemed like Gardner to the Jets was predicted fairly often. That seems like one of the least shocking picks of the entire draft outside of when you find out Hutchinson goes to 2, that seemed obvious that the Lions are going to take him. But like a lot of mock drafts, a lot of people kind of identified the Jets' interest in Gardner. So him going at 4 was not a surprise. I would imagine, Stingley seemed to be the bigger surprise going in the top 5 and going as the first corner off the board. But obviously the Texans see something. I do wonder. So TJ, you're mentioning Gardner played 10 games in 2 seasons. So I wonder if there's...
No. Stingley played 10 games.
Oh, okay. My mistake. So I was going to say, I wonder if there's injury concern with Gardner, just like Stingley, but it seems like it's not the case. So... bit of a surprise there, but probably again the most surprising thing was that it was five.
Yeah, I mean both super talented again, like yeah, and going like with the first two picks, these guys are super elite athletes. So sometimes like with Stingley, you know, they're going off that early tape, but hey, what can we get out of this guy because he's got all the tools? So a lot of it's just projection.
So last guy in the top 5 was Kayvon Thibodeau, edge rusher from Oregon. And it seems like there was, you know, I know I did a mock draft for Full Press coverage a while back. I think it was mid-March, I guess. And I had Thibodeau going second to the Lions. So it seemed like, the three edge rushers that went in the top 5 were kind of viewed as the premier three edge rushers in the class. And like... it wouldn't have been if Thibodeau went first overall to the Jags, it would have probably been surprising, but it wouldn't have been, oh, that's completely bad pick. That's unusual. I think everyone kind of knew this was a tier of three edge rushers. And it just seems like Thibodeau happened to be the one that fell, quote unquote, fell to number 5. So TJ, what did you think about Thibodeau? Did you think he had any like serious contention for the first overall pick? I'm not sure if that's a word, but it is now.
Let's see, Thibodeau, he's 6'4", 255, as I'm seeing. DN, he could also play a little bit outside. A good pass rusher. Actually, the only thing he need work on is staying consistent later, like third or fourth quarter later in the games. I guess the scouting report says he get tired, but he a good. The Jets run a hybrid defense, so this would be good for them. He go come in. They say he go come in. He should start because you know Jets. Yeah, I'm just glad the Jets y'all made a good pick finally. I'm not a Giant fan. I'm saying this because y'all have a bad history of picking. But with this still, but y'all in a good direction. Jesse, what you think?
Yeah, so I'm not as high on him. I don't. So this is a boomer bust player for me. When he's on, it's like, okay, this guy's going to change the game. He's going to be unreal. And then he disappears. Some question his football heart and everything. That's big for me. Like, you know, if you're getting questioned and then if he went to the combine and didn't do, he said he's healthy, but he didn't do a lot of the activities. And even Richard Seymour is like, oh man, I thought he was going to do everything. He told me he was going to do it and he didn't do it. I think the kid, the sky's the limit, like I said, but oh man, I don't know. I thought this was a little bit of a reach for me, but as far as athletically, he's as gifted as they come.
Well, major disagreement. Jesse says it was a reach and I say it was a steal at five. So who knows? I guess we'll find out, but personally, like compared to Walker, for instance, I think he's a better pure pass rusher. Like he's got the variety of pass rush moves. Like where you were saying, Walker is the great athlete, but he needs to kind of refine the actual pass rushing. I think Thibodeau's got that, but maybe not the athletic ceiling of Walker.
Right. No, and I agree. Yeah. Is pure speed pass rusher off the edge. Yeah. The dude's awesome. It's just so natural and fluid with it. Speed game. I think the power game is going to have to take some time. But yeah, you know, that's the Giants are going to try to bring pressure. They drafted Oswari last year from Georgia. So they got their speed guys on the edge. So, hey, they might have two real nice bookends there.
Yeah, but like Jesse said, we agree on he need to be consistent. But they said in the scouting report later on, the guy, right. he's like he slowed down a little. So,
yep.
That, I didn't know Richard Seymour said that. Where do you see that?
Yeah, at the combine.
Oh, okay.
When he was talking at the combine, because I guess there's family ties somewhere in there. So,
okay. I do wonder, maybe, you know, maybe Thibodeau had the intention to run and then didn't, like, and then changed his mind. Right. So I would not say he's necessarily lying to Richard Seymour, but.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But I also don't really care who lies to Richard Seymour. Not that I have anything wrong with Richard Seymour, but nope. People are going to tell the truth. People are going to lie. And we got to just discern the best information we can. But hopefully we give you our honest truth here on the Full Press Packers pod. But the truth is, after those five defensive players completely flipped around and teams went full offense, and the Giants and Jets both had two top 10 picks, you know, two in the top five, and then in the back half, the Giants went 5-7, the Jets 4-10. So going defense first and then offense second, I suppose makes sense to keep a balanced roster and format. But yeah, so we got three offensive tackles off the board. So it's basically outside of the two corners that went top five, the top seven picks are all either edge rush or edge protection, right? Jesse, we talked about that, I guess last week or two weeks ago. You know, that's the importance, right? Those two positions outside of quarterback, that, you know, protecting your quarterback and getting after the opponent's quarterback. Those are the two most important aspects to football. And this draft really showed it, that that's where teams kind of went, and these elite athletes at those in the trenches, they went and got. Carolina took Ikem Ekwonu, number six. The New York Giants then went Evan Neal, from Alabama, number seven. And then Seattle Seahawks with the number ninth pick that they got trading Russell Wilson, they took Charles Cross, another offensive tackle. The one quick thing I will say about Neal and really Okwunu as well, it seemed like there was hype, especially for Neal, to be the first overall pick. Like we were talking about, TJ, you mentioned it. Okay, do the Jags go and add Evan Neal to that offensive line to protect Lawrence? So I would say it seems like the Giants, again, I think Thibodeau is necessarily a steal, but I feel like he fell at five, and then I think Neal really fell at seven. So like you were saying, TJ, kudos to the Giants. It looks like they took the two best players available at two positions that are incredibly important and two positions they needed. So I thought the Giants with their two picks did really well. But then, unfortunately for us Packers fans, we were talking, okay, who are the top five receivers going to fall to the Packers? Was not the case. It started in the top 10. Drake London went to the Atlanta Falcons as the first wide receiver off the board.
And I saw that.
Yeah. That was it was tough to know who was going to be the first receiver taken. It seemed like that was really close. And they all kind of went really close. So London went at 8, Charles Cross at 9, and then three other receivers, three in a row. Garrett Wilson to the Jets, and then two trade-ups. The New Orleans Saints traded up to 11 with Washington to draft Chris Olave. And then the Lions traded up with, division rival Minnesota to grab Jameson Williams. So I know we were all, Jesse, we were pretty excited about all of those receivers. I know you were maybe less excited about Garrett Wilson. So you were probably happy to see him go in the top 10, of course. So I guess, honestly, like, we'll go in order. Let's start with Drake London. So TJ, what did you think about London? Were you shocked that he was the first receiver off the board?
I was shocked because there's so many good receivers, man. Like, they running 4.3s now? Like, 4.4s only better than the He got 4.3s, but Drake London, hold up. I'm not going to lie. The only thing I've seen about Drake London was some spectacular catches he was making. A lot of people say it's because the USC, I ain't trying to bash somebody. They were saying the USC quarterback just made some accurate passes, but because Drake London is so good, he was catching them. It's on them. Let's see. I think the post Matt Ryan, Julio Jones era, they trying to go back to that. I don't know. The Falcons with these draft picks, they make it kind of questionable. And now they make it work. That's good because they picked the quarterback up from Cincinnati. I forgot his name, but
Desmond Ridder.
Yeah, that was a questionable pick, but yeah. We just got to see how this worked. To be honest with you, I'm like Jesse with that Giants pick. I don't know about this one. What would you think, Jesse?
Yeah, so I think London was the biggest mystery because of that nasty ankle injury. He couldn't really perform this offseason as much, you know. Then of course he had some workouts, but didn't get to do anything at the combine. But yeah. Contested catch guy, he's amazing, right? Now, that's where people question his speed and the quarterback play at USC, like you said. But the big thing was his speed. I didn't think he was going to go this high. He did. I didn't think he was going to be the number one receiver off the board. He was. They already got Pitts, so I think they got two guys that are kind of the same. So I don't know if they're just trying to play jump ball down there in Atlanta. I don't know. It was very interesting. And that opened up the floodgates because then everybody went receiver crazy after that.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, Jesse, because I'm thinking like Kyle Pitts seems like he's at his best when he's in space, not as a pure tight end, but almost more as a wide receiver. Drake London probably plays the slot better than he plays the outside, almost closer to the line of scrimmage. So do they end up playing Drake London, the wide receiver, as a tight end and Kyle Pitts, the tight end, as a wide receiver, just to confuse opponents? Like, I wonder if that's maybe the strategy there too. But I think the idea is you can move both those guys around.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, put them on the same side, you know, and good luck trying to match up. Yeah. It'll be interesting for sure. They're going to help out whoever's playing quarterback because they just give them a jump ball and one of them's going to come down with it.
Yeah, 6'4", 220, Drake London. I didn't even know. I knew he was tall. I didn't know he weighed that much, 220.
Yeah, he's big.
Yeah, it's pretty similar. You know, Jesse, you and I kept talking about Treylon Burks a ton 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, whatever that was. We did the offensive episode, but it seems like very similar body type to Treylon Burks. Same, almost similar right. Height, similar weight.
Yeah, definitely. Just really good ball skills. Yeah, good player. Like I said, That injury was unfortunate because he was killing it last year. He only played, I think, 7 or 8 games. So they liked what they saw.
8 games. I think he had 1,000 yards.
Yep.
Like 8 touchdowns. I think it was almost like 7 or 8 touchdowns, basically a touchdown a game. It's pretty impressive, I'd say. But Ohio State, quite an impressive school, quite a pedigree. They've been developing receivers really well. End up having back-to-back picks, Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave from Ohio State. So TJ, Ohio State fan, what do you think about both of those receivers?
I ain't go fan girl. They both crack kids. I'm gonna be honest with you. They both speedy. They both ran like 4.3s, 4.4. The thing I got with them two is I think they need to get their size up or they go get bullied real quick. Like the advantage Tyreek Hill got is he's super short, so he can mouse his way through people. These dudes ain't short, they both like 6 feet, 6'1". It's going to work at first because y'all knew, but after a while, once defenses start figuring them out, I think they're going to need to get their size up. But this both picks for the Saints and the
Jets.
Yeah, both Yeah, both good pick for the Jets and the Saints. Once again, New York teams are making excellent draft picks. Finally, yes, I'm roasted New York. Like for the Saints, I think Michael Thomas, he getting injury prone a little, or whatever situation he have. I think the Saints are taking the affair with just Garrett. It was a Garrett. Yeah, Garrett. It was a Garrett.
Yep, Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, I think they playing the safe okay, Michael Thomas, because we all know the Saints have a salary cap issue right now. So in case they trade Michael Thomas, I think they playing it safe with this Garrett Wilson pick. What you think, Jesse?
Yeah, I agree with what you say. You know, I don't see either one of them like an alpha number one wide receiver, but they'll help any room. Like you got other guys. These guys can flourish moving them around and getting them touches. But if they're the focal point of your offense, and that was my thing with Wilson, you know, I think he's a superior athlete, but he's not your pure number one wide receiver. Olave, his route running is probably the best route running in the class. But again, he's, like you said, he's a little light. So bigger physical corners, I think, could kind of have their way with him. But if you got another guy, okay, so you look at Olave going with the Saints, you know, you get a healthy Michael Thomas, and Olave on number two or playing in the slot, he can flourish. So it's a good move. It's just, yeah, this is a weird receiver class for me where you have a lot of good talent, but not a lot of guys that have the upside to be the guy, if that makes sense.
Which, again, back to the whole process, Jesse, was why you were less excited about Garrett Wilson to the Packers. Right. You wanted London. You wanted Burks. And I will say, if Olave's not the best route runner in the class, it's probably Garrett Wilson, honestly. So kudos to the wide receiver coaching staff at Ohio State, because those guys seem like they're really refined with their game. And is it could Garrett Wilson arguably be kind of like we were talking about Hutchinson, the safest floor for these receivers? Like there's some things London needs to work on, but if he puts it all together, that frame and that speed, like that'll be incredible. But it seems like Wilson's kind of like the most ready-made day one. Again, outside of maybe the weight and the physicality, but like with the route running, with the catching, like he's got like the highest floor of any of these receivers. Is that fair to say?
I think both of them do. I think, you know,
and that's Olave as well. Sorry, Jesse.
Yeah. Okay. For, you know, that goes to the Buckeye offense, because these guys are pro ready. You throw them in there, they're going to be okay. Where the other guys, they might need some time, but once they get it, they're going to be crazy good. But these guys, I think, are, you know, day one, that you have them out there, they're taking snaps and you're not worried about it. So I agree with that.
My bad, Chris, I was like, play for the Saints. I kept saying Garrett Wilson. My bad.
They both, but giving your Ohio State guys some love, it's okay, TJ. But yeah, so like I said, those guys went, and then the Lions, another team with, well, traded up to get two picks in the top 12, went Aiden Hutchinson second, and then Jameson Williams 12. I think, yeah, Jesse, this was a guy you were hoping would follow the Packers because of the injuries, the ACL injuries. So we're not sure if he's going to be quite ready, you know, training camp week one for the Lions. But I guess because you liked him so much, Jesse, are you worried about him now that the Packers will have to face him twice a year, assuming he's healthy for that first meeting?
Well, I mean, I like him better on the Lions than on the Vikings, if that makes sense. And I think the Vikings could have got a lot more, and they didn't. So kudos to the Lions for moving up and getting their guy. And you look at the Lions, they know they're not ready to win this year. So they're getting this guy for the future. And because he could have been the number one receiver in the class if he didn't get hurt. The Lions aren't worried about him playing week one. You know, let's get our guy, get him in our system and build for, you know, year two, three, and four. He's going to take the top off the defense for sure. This cat can fly. So it was a good move by the Lions.
And then just to quickly talk about the other two receivers drafted. So six went in the first round, actually the top 18 picks. So after the Lions at 12, the next receiver off the board was Jahan Dotson to Washington at 16. Probably the most surprising receiver. Like, you know, I don't think totally shocking for him to go in the first round, but to be, I guess, technically not the top half. Yeah, I guess he ends the top half of the first round. And to go ahead of Burks, that seems surprising for me. Am I missing something about Dotson that where this is actually a really smart pick for Washington?
He's a second option to me. I don't see him coming in being no first. I'm going to be honest. I see him coming in as a good slot, though, who you may need him when everybody else covered, though. He a sneaky receiver. I ain't bashing nobody, but I don't see him being no top 15, 20 receiver. That's just me.
Like, even with the weight concerns of Olave and Wilson, you can see the path for them more easily than Dotson.
Yeah, they get their size up and they don't get injured, because anybody can get injured in the league. But I just, Dotson, he just, like, I did a few mock drafts about him. It was like, he just one of them, like, second or third options. Like, he don't fit. Well, what you think, Jesse? That's all I'm going to say.
I'm with you, man. So, this was a reach to me, especially look how they're built. They have Scary Terry over there. Then they brought in Samuel, who was injured. And now you're bringing in a guy that brings no other skill set that those guys – it's kind of three of the same kind of styles, you know what I mean? So that's like, yeah, it's a third option. And unless they're really not thinking they're going to keep McLaurin around, I don't like to pick. I don't get the pick. I think he would have been there a little bit later. I like the player. Don't get me wrong. I think he's a good player. Bottom end, of, you know, right around 30, you know, 35, I think was where he was slotted. But just too early for me. But he's got a dog mentality. He's a lot tougher than his size. But again, it's the NFL. Everybody's tough. So this was a reach, in my opinion.
So what Washington should have done is, I wonder, if they had just stayed at 11, would they have taken Dotson right there at 11 and really just shocked the world? Maybe they knew better. Okay, that'll be a reach here. We'll move down five spots and take him. It'll be less of a reach. What they should have done was traded that pick again to the Tennessee Titans to get A.J. Brown, because that's exactly what the Titans did with Philadelphia. Philadelphia's 18th overall pick, the Titans got that in exchange for A.J. Brown. So now suddenly A.J. Brown on the Eagles, and the Titans draft Treylon Burks, putting all our Packers fans' hopes that we'd get Burks aside. But we knowing that Burks is off the board, I know Jesse and I have spent a lot of time talking about him. So, TJ, did you want to add anything about Burks?
No, that's for real. I just know, back to the Eagles stuff you were saying, they picked up a lot of – I don't know if I'm over-exaggerating, but it's like every 5-10 picks, Eagles pick. Man, they really like – they were really active this draft. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, for sure. Seems like they've supported their young quarterback in Jalen Hurts pretty well, and we'll see how long he is their quarterback. It seems like even this year there was, oh, are the Eagles going to take a quarterback, right? Like, I feel like, unfortunately, since Hurts wasn't a first-round pick, that those questions are kind of always exist. Maybe, you know, maybe if they, you know, signs that second contract, a long-term extension, then those questions will finally be calmed. But, yeah, will the Eagles replace Hurts? I feel like that this he's gotten a lot of help, but it probably isn't going to end those conversations, even though I argue they probably should. I think he's done enough to prove that he should be the guy, that they should have faith. I don't think they'll be able to get a better quarterback if they move on from him very easily. I mean, you know, outside of, you know, I guess the rumors this summer were trading for Russell Wilson, trading for Aaron Rodgers. You know, those guys aren't available. You know, I say ride it out with Hurts. You should be kind of, and I guess they don't have to make that decision right now either. Like, they still have two more years of him on his rookie contract before they have to decide. So, but after this year, I'd be shocked if the extension talks from the Eagles aren't like more aggressive, but again, we'll see. But yes, I guess we've gone through over half an hour and haven't talked about any Packers picks. So we'll get there. But I did also want to cover the context of that top tier of receivers gone. So while I think all of Packers fans and like every fantasy football manager out there who plays Dynasty wanted the Packers to take a receiver in the first round, it didn't happen. Instead, they go, actually, TJ, you mentioned it earlier, talk about the Georgia defense. There were five members of the Georgia defense that went in the first round. And I believe that's a record as well for one defensive unit in one draft. And frankly, they probably should have had six, I'll be honest. One guy really fell, a linebacker, for instance, who a lot of people may viewed as the number one linebacker in the class. Instead, the Packers are the first team to take a linebacker, an inside linebacker, Quay Walker. So, Jesse, what do you think about Quay Walker? I know his teammate, N'Kobe Dean, is injured and ultimately fell to the third round, actually to the Eagles, funny enough. And you're right, TJ, it's always the Eagles. But what did you think about the Packers going with Walker instead of N'Kobe Dean?
Well, I guess at the time of the pick, I was stunned. you know, I'm not going to use any hindsight, you know, 2020, because now we know how the draft finished out. But at the time, you know, when you're looking at the board, I was not thinking receiver. I'm like, I think, you know, the tier was met. So all the receivers that they would have been interested in at 22, I think was gone. Honestly, I'm like Jermaine Johnson. They're going Jermaine Johnson here. Get another pass rusher who a lot of teams had in the top 10. And then when they took Walker, I'm like, whoa, like took a second to settle in. I was actually in Vegas having a good time. So even the reaction there, it was pretty surprising. I do think they took the best linebacker from Georgia. And then after thinking about it and settling down for a minute, it's like, okay, this kind of makes sense. You know, Joe Barry is the off linebacker whisperer, right? Every off-ball linebacker that plays with him, he gets the most out of him. And you look at Quay Walker and you look at Campbell, they're similar body types, right? And now I'm not reaching here and saying they're the same player, but then you look at Micah Parsons' athletic traits and then you look at Walker's. They're all, I mean, you set them up side by side. Both of these guys are freak athletes. It's making sense. They're trying to build this defense where they can rush four and play with extra linebackers on the field to play against the run and against the pass, and they can fly everywhere. This defense, there's no excuse that they're not a top five defense or one of the most athletic defenses in the league. So is it a little early for me? Yeah. Is it my favorite pick? No, but I get it. I'm getting more excited as we go.
Well, I think you're making me more excited because I did have a few concerns. Like, for instance, I did think N'Kobe Dean was the better linebacker, but not a linebacker expert. So my opinion doesn't really matter. But I was shocked at that, like, he might not even be the best linebacker on his own team, let alone like the best linebacker available on the board. So I thought it was okay if the Packers view him as the number one at this position, but it seems like that's going contrary to a lot. Now, maybe Walker should have earned more hype. Maybe he, you know, playing next to Dean almost kind of shadowed him a little bit, and he should have been more hyped as a first round pick. But I also didn't like the position of investment. I know in the first round, especially with with two first round picks, especially that first one, you really just want to go best player available. So clearly the Packers thought Walker was the best player available. I disagree, Jesse, in terms of, I disagree with them on that. Cause like you're saying, Jermaine Johnson was on the board, and that seems like he was an edge rusher that, outside those top three, might have been the next best guy. I think he was the fourth edge rusher to go after Thibodeau at five. Yeah, Jermaine Johnson was the next edge rusher 21 picks later. So that was maybe the pick I would have liked for them in terms of the best player available. So again, I was a little surprised kind of in all facets, but you saying that you think he's better than N'Kobe Dean maybe makes it more worthy, or at least maybe you're saying better fit for the Packers.
Yeah. Well, okay. So my problem with Dean, he's really little. Like Roquan Smith is bigger than him. Instincts are there. He's a good football player, but he didn't test. And a lot of people were questioning, hey, you know, they don't think he's as good an athlete as projected. Then again, playing behind that Georgia defense, that can kind of hide some of your, you know, inequalities as an athlete. But then you get a guy like Walker who goes and tests and he's jump off the boards, awesome athlete, but his instincts aren't what Dean's are. I don't know if you can teach that, but if anybody can, Joe Barry can. So Joe Barry must have been pounding the table because they were like gushing over this player. So I'm trusting the Packers coaching staff over what I think for sure here.
To be fair, like, again, trusting them with Eric Stokes and Darnell Savage, right? They've identified these first round players that people didn't view as first rounders coming in, and it turned out like those have been the right decisions. They've been like day one starters since they've been healthy and ready to go. And yep, they've excelled at times. And even when they're at their worst, they still look like they belong in the NFL, right? There's bad plays every so often, but those bad plays are also pretty rare. So Savage and Stokes were kind of viewed as surprising first round picks, and maybe the same thing with Walker, but we've also had the results with those other two. So kind of hoping the same. Now, not a defensive back, but still. So the second Georgia player they took was Devontae Wyatt, a defensive tackle. I'll be honest, I liked this pick better because I think he starts on the team day one, whereas Walker would have to be amazing for him to usurp Chris Bards. I mean, there's no way he's replacing first team All-Pro Devondre Campbell, but let's be real. So that was also the reason I didn't necessarily love spending a first round pick on a depth piece. Whereas Devontae Wyatt, I think coming in right away next to Kenny Clark changes that defensive line a little bit. So I liked the 28th overall pick more than the 22nd. TJ, I don't know if you had any different opinion. Are you closer to Jesse really liking Walker or more hesitant like I am?
This would be good for y'all. I'm just wondering. I just hope the Packers don't get a Saints problem because y'all just gave Aaron Rodgers $200 million, $190 million guaranteed? So I just hope, and y'all just lost Devontae Adams. A lot of people expect y'all pick a wide receiver with that first pick. But I'm glad y'all building the deep. I guess y'all looking towards the future because Aaron Rodgers leave or get injured or whatnot. Y'all need to make it. See, teams, y'all, Packers are in a stage where, from a Browns perspective, it's like, in case Rodgers get injured and y'all get y'all a terrible quarterback behind him, y'all need to make sure y'all have a good defense. Just like the traditional, oh, okay, we got Hall of Fame quarterback getting older, but in case he go down, we need to make sure our defense is stacked. What y'all think? That's from my perspective.
Well, and yeah, I mean, the Packers have the offensive line that they can kind of, we can lean on the run game and let our defense win if Rodgers isn't there. That's true. Cause I don't think they want to go, okay, Jordan Love, you're going to throw it 50 times a game. That's not a winning recipe probably. So yeah, I agree with you that it's, right. but again, I'll be honest. Like I think Wyatt is a now pick. Like that's not just a future pick. I think Devontae Wyatt comes in and contributes right away. So in that sense, that pick especially really helps the win now. We're in a Super Bowl window. We want to win this title now. And I feel like the Wyatt pick probably helps more in that regard than the Walker pick, unless Walker comes out and maybe exceeds clearly what I have as lower expectations for him.
That's the best Georgia players.
Yeah. No, Wyatt's a dude, man. So I'll start with the negatives. You know, he's a little bit older and there was some red flags. There was a domestic violence thing, which the Packers said they really vetted everything. He kicked on a door is what it sounded like he did. Whatever. A lot of scouts were turned off by the person and not the player. Cause if we're talking about the player, a lot of scouts have him as the best D lineman in the class. Better than Jordan Davis, because Jordan Davis can only play like 15 snaps a game. Devontae Wyatt was the only guy in the country who was graded 80 over 80 in both against the run and the pass. This dude is a freak athlete again. So that's what we, Gutekunst, we figured out. He wants freak athletes. This guy comes in day one and he's going to kick some butt. I'm telling you what, we want to get pressure with four. You got third and long. You put Kenny Clark, you put Devontae Wyatt on the field with Smith and Gary on the outside, and you go to work. Exactly what TJ was saying. The Packers are going to play defense and score just enough and not have to lean on the offense all the time. This is the guy you want. This guy's a bully, and he's – yeah. He would have been a top 15 pick if everything checked out off the field and didn't have any problems. So the Packers got a steal here in the player.
And is this almost like the edge rushers at the very top where – Jordan Davis, he was one of those other players with a 10 relative athletic score, like a perfect score, just like Trayvon Walker. And I wonder if maybe without that, actually, I guess they're both Georgia, right? So it's the same thing as with Walker Dean. Like it's tough. It should be an easier comparison. They're both playing the same games the same time, but it's also tough to compare. Like who's the better actual defensive tackle between both Davis and Wyatt? And maybe the, like you're saying, the off-field stuff, but also the Davis's combine may have lifted him up to be the defensive tackle one in the class. But I was really happy with the Wyatt pick, so that's just me.
Crazy player. You know, I'm just him rushing, you know, from anywhere over. There's no guard that's gonna just stop him and Kenny Clark. I don't know. This is an exciting pick because this defense, there's no excuse, you know, barring injury, which injuries always happen. But if this team can stay healthy, there's no excuses. It's all the fearful stuff that you want to do and how the Giants beat the New England in the Super Bowl. They got pressure with four, right? Well, now we have the dudes up front. And, well, Jerron Reed was brought in too because we said we want to get pressure inside. So you put these guys on a rotation and keep them fresh, and you just hunt quarterbacks. Go out there and hunt quarterbacks, and then keep our ultra-athletic off-ball linebackers and Campbell and Walker behind you clean. And there's no excuses anymore. This defense needs to eat.
And the Packers stopped making excuses for not having a receiver, and they actually – passing on receiver to take Wyatt at 28, it kind of made it seem, oh, boy, who are they going to get at – what pick did they have? Initially, they had the Raiders pick at 53. So 53 and 59, it was, yep. Was there going to be a good receiver that fell to that range? Actually, a pretty good receiver went 54. So I think they might have been okay with that. But clearly, the Packers decided they had their eye on a particular someone, a great athlete. Again, Gutekunst has a type. They traded that both of their second-round picks. So they traded the 53rd pick and the 59th pick. I don't believe there was anything else. It was just take those two late first, yep. Move them into a early first, right? I don't think there was any late swaps or anything.
Nope, they just straight up those three picks.
And they moved up to the 34th overall spot, so the second pick of the second round with what was originally the Lions pick, but then again, that was one of the picks they used to trade up for Jameson Williams, so it ended up with the Vikings. The Vikings apparently wanted to trade down with two division rivals in the same draft and took the Packers pick. In fact, they traded down their original pick, they traded down the 34th, and then they traded down the first of the two picks the Packers gave them. So apparently the Vikings just thought this draft was awful. They didn't want to take anyone. Let's just trade down and accumulate more value. But the Packers thought otherwise and drafted small school prospect Christian Watson. I remember this, Jesse, that one of your articles had talked about Watson. I remember because I put him as the feature article. I figured, oh, he almost looks like a Packer in his North Dakota State uniform. So it'll be good as the featured image. But yeah, I know you were excited about him. I'm excited about the athleticism. Maybe we start with the negatives, though, on Christian Watson. What is the biggest concern with this small school prospect?
I'll go first.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead, DJ.
I know, because Jesse going to go all in. So I'm going to go first. Let me see. All right. 6'4", 210, small school receiver in the North Dakota State. They just start hitting the map, like I say, like, what, 4 or 5 years ago. They a run heavy team though, and I see a lot of Packers scouts. I just read he not gonna come in immediately and start, you know, making big time numbers. But y'all got a history of big receivers. Y'all like the Chargers, you know, LA Chargers. They always get the big receivers, but a lot of people, the scouts, the Packers scouts, they don't see him coming in. He gonna be a short cast person. No. The Aaron Rodgers like to throw the ball up. Everybody knows that. So, but yeah, he like we gonna see what he can do, receiver. But yeah, Jesse, what you think?
You're right about it. They're a run first team. So yeah, like everybody's, why was his numbers that gaudy? Well, they didn't throw the ball, and when they did, he was their offense. Negatives. Okay, he's a little bit older and he's a small school guy, but there's your negatives. Right. But that's what you do when you play at FCS schools, they stay, they don't go to the draft early. You stay there long-term. It's just that's why that program's so good. They're grown men already playing. Small school guy, but this was the pick. I think I'm just going to transition, unless you want to do any negatives, Kyle.
Well, raw would be that when we talk about raw receivers, right? Like that, that's a term for, right. I think, like, you know, the route running might not be as refined, and that might come down to just the coaching, right? That the school, certain things, like certain details with route running weren't as important as, okay, what are you doing blocking wise? What is the, like, so much importance on the run game that maybe some details with the wide receiver play are left unrefined at that school. So, you know, needing to kind of make crisper routes, and it honestly a little bit like Treylon Burks, right? Because we were talking about, that was the biggest knock on Burks was the route running. I remember saying for myself, it's the lack of any double moves. No, there's no subtlety to his route. He just runs the route and he's at the spot, and it's easy for defensive backs to get a read on it. So I don't know if it's quite to that extent of the predictability of the routes, but it seems like route running is probably where Watson needs to make the most, needs to make a massive jump in order to, like TJ was saying, put up massive numbers and be an immediate contributor. Because I'm kind of thinking right now, week one starts, the starting receivers, Sammy Watkins, Lazard outside, and Randall Cobb in the slot. Like, I don't see Watson immediately coming in here unless he's able to really impress in training camp. I don't think they're going to rush him.
Right. And I think a lot of the route running, like you said, Burks, is he wasn't asked to do anything else. It's, hey, we're running the ball, you're blocking, and then we're just going to shoot a post and you're going to beat everybody for a 75-yard touchdown because nobody can hang with you. You know, so he wasn't asked to do a lot. So that is the question mark. Can he do it all? At the Senior Bowl, all the cornerbacks voted him the best receiver there. So that's saying something. The big school kids were saying, this guy's really good. This was the pick that told Packers Nation the sky is not falling and we will go get a receiver, because those first two picks, you know, people were kind of worried about it. And now they're, oh, here's a guy that could have went in the first. This is a guy that could have took at 22. Matt LaFleur loved him. He said he said he was just a great personality, super mature, and he's a freak athlete. Just like TJ said, this is a Packers type, 6'4", big guy. receiver that really moves like he does. I mean, this guy was an All-American punt and kick returner, and then last year they just didn't kick the ball to him, which I don't know if the Packers are going to ask him to do that right away. But, yeah, like you were saying, his role week one can kind of do the deep stuff and try to take the top off the defense and then start working him into your offense more. I love the pick. The sky's the limit. You got your athlete. Now you just got to – he's a big ball of clay. Mold him into what you want from him. But his movement skills at that size, it's AJ Greenish to me, like, because he can just contort his body and do some crazy stuff. I'm not saying he's AJ Green because that's high praise. But physically and athletically, this is going to be a fun pick.
And I know, TJ, you were talking about like guys like Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave needing to put a bit more meat on the bone, get that weight number up. Watson, 6'4", but only 210, about 10 to 15 pounds lighter than guys like London and Burke. So you think he also has to kind of maybe also put a bit more weight on too? Not maybe to the same extent as Wilson, but still needing to beef up that frame a little?
I just don't know this, though. Usually when people come from small schools, they get more praise just because, you know, people think the kid, he one of those where for the Packers, I don't know, like, is he only going to be there until Aaron Rodgers retired, or, like, he going to be there for the next 6-7 years, or y'all going to trade him? Like, this pick right here, I was like, I don't know. I don't know what this receiver. It's one of, like Jay said, with questionable, but we just going to see what happens.
Yeah, I think in terms of – I was excited that they took a receiver there, that they traded up and got one, thinking that, okay, yeah, maybe they wouldn't get any of the guys in that tier if they waited until 53. Although, like I said, Sky Moore went 54th to the Chiefs. I think if the Packers had stayed at 53 and just taken Moore there, they would have been – not quite the same size as Watson, but I think they would have been just as happy with Sky Moore. At least I would have been just as happy. I was also really liking George Pickens, and those guys both fell outside the top 50. So that was maybe one where the Packers didn't necessarily need to trade up as early, because of how far those two guys fell, but they didn't know at the time what that was going to be like. Was there going to be a wide receiver run to kick off the second? They didn't want to get left out. So they played it safe in a sense and traded up. And speaking of trade up, I also made a mistake. The Vikings with the Colts pick they got, they actually traded up. They didn't trade down. So they actually went and grabbed Andrew Booth, a corner. So I wonder if Andrew Booth, the corner, will cover Christian Watson, the wide receiver, as a second round pick in some of those Vikings Packers games upcoming.
Watson he's got to work on his drops. So if I'm not worried about him getting stronger other areas, but he's got to work on his drops. He did have a really high drop rate, actually kind of alarming at times. So hopefully he can get that figured out. But again, it's an upside pick, right? Go ahead.
To that. Well, my question is now, what is the reason behind the drop rate? I mean, we can blame, okay, small school quarterback, but is it like, did you notice anything in the catching? Like, is he not a hands catcher at all? Like, does he let it come into his body or is it just more concentration drops?
I think a lot of more concentration, like he's running before the ball's in his hands because he's plucky hands. He goes up and gets the ball. It's just, there were some bad drops where, you know, just focus, I think, which, hey, Aaron's just going to put it on you. You need to catch the ball, then make the play after. So I think it can be cleaned up. I don't see like just some kind of trait where he doesn't catch the ball correctly. It's just he's had some bad drops.
So just consistency with the technique, knowing you always got to get the triangle with the hands, always get that going and don't let, you know, eyes on the ball, right? Like this is as simple. Right. The first thing they teach us that in every, I've never played football, but I've heard eyes on the ball a lot in other sports, soccer, basketball, hockey, eyes on the puck. But yeah, like you know, keep your eyes on the balls it's approaching. That's the fundamentals, right? In which sometimes the bigger stage, you forget those instincts. So just to kind of reinforce that, I think, more than anything. Again, back to our conversation a few weeks ago, we talked about offensive prospects for the draft, and we kind of said, okay, the two biggest needs for the Packers are offensive line and wide receiver. Well, really, wide receiver first, then offensive line, especially the depth of the offensive line. And again, we talked about it, like those are arguably right. Two of the top five most important positions in football. And the Packers did address it in the third round. Sean Ryan, they did go to another offensive lineman later. And I know that other offensive lineman that they got later was someone you wrote about, Jesse, but what do you think about Sean Ryan?
You want me to go?
Yeah, go ahead, TJ. Go ahead. Sorry. I'm really doing bad at this hosting and designating thing. You guys are doing much better than me.
He could I'm gonna go Sky Report. He could like guard and tackle. Be honest with you, I don't know much about this though, because I don't be watching UCLA. But He can play guard and tackle. Him, no, he going from the UCLA to the Colts in on Green Bay, so it's gonna be a minor adjustment. But he's versatile. So I guess that's good. But what you think, Jesse? I don't know what you want to do.
No, it's funny that you say that because he said he's never seen it snow before, so he's in for a rude awakening right there. Because he's gonna see snow probably in the end of September, early October.
Why is the sand falling from the sky, guys? Actually, sorry, Jesse. That'll be his thing. This white sand. Right. What is this?
Yeah, like some of these talking heads, they're like, this kid's gonna come in and start. Like, this is a steal. Some people had him in the top 60. He's tough, man. Can play inside, outside. I see him probably starting out just trying to see what he can do at right tackle, and then he could kick in. I'll tell you what, right now, you know, with Elton Jenkins being out, you got Runyon Jr. and you got Newman, who should take a jump. There's a three-way battle between those three guys right there, which Runyon's going to start. I think it'll be Newman battle or who's going to play right tackle until Jenkins gets. But I love this pick. I think it's a steal. He's tough, versatile. Again, a really good athlete. He tested really well. You look at him go up against Thibodeau, he owned him. He ate his lunch. Thibodeau got one late sack in the game, but the rest of the time, he stonewalled him when they played last year. I mean, he shut him down and, like, threw him around. So it's a good pick.
I do like Thibodeau, as mentioned. So, yeah, that's a good sign for a guy outside the top 90 in the draft, 92nd overall, for a guy that, like you were saying, Jesse, might have been predicted as a top 60 pick. So, quite a steal, I suppose.
Yeah.
And it's funny, TJ, the very first thing you mentioned, the scouting report, he can play both inside and outside. I'm pretty sure that's the first thing the Packers look at for offensive linemen, because like that outside of Bakhtiari, everyone they have on the line is versatile, can play multiple positions. And yeah, this might be something where if he excels so much at right tackle, maybe it allows them to move Elton Jenkins back inside. But at the very least, maybe it's a stopgap in case Jenkins isn't ready week one. They can put Ryan out at right tackle for a couple of weeks and then kick him inside. Maybe that can also help his guard play once he's played tackle. Maybe it'll be a little easier to adjust to playing guard. If he, in fact, can beat Royce Newman for that, what I would assume is the right guard spot. So, yeah, I think I would argue both the offensive linemen they have a chance to compete for starting jobs because they did take another O-lineman in the fourth.
Right. Well, I agree. Green Bay knows how to find O-linemen, right? Like the third round, like Jinx, I think Ryan can kind of fix that because our third round picks have not been good. But linemen after that, if Green Bay picks them, I'm pretty confident that one or two of them are going to turn out.
So let's get to that fourth round now. And the Packers had the 132nd and the 140th pick. So two picks close. And what do? They've gone, addressed all these positions, but never doubled up on any of them. And suddenly they take another wide receiver and another offensive lineman in the fourth round. Again, maybe them realizing what our conclusions were, Jesse, that those were the two biggest needs entering the draft. And while they didn't spend a first round pick on either, they committed themselves to spend multiple resources in the draft on both of those positions. So starting with Romeo Doubs, wide receiver out of Nevada. So go ahead, TJ, if you want to talk about Doubs. It is Doubs, right? It's not Dubis, as I've mistakenly pronounced at times.
No, Jesse, go ahead. Jesse was about to go all in. Go, Jesse.
I think he said it's Doubs, but Doubs. I've heard both. Way back in September, like this kid I thought was like a second round pick. Really good player. He's lanky, just he's got that it factor. I could see him contribute right away because I think he's like more pro ready now. He might not have the ceiling of Watson, but the kid I think can come in as like your, fourth guy, your fourth wide receiver and be a matchup problem for dime corners. Good size. He's fast, plucky hands again, big play stuff, and can play special teams too. So that's another thing with this draft, and especially why we get later. It looks like Green Bay is like finally addressing some of their special teams issues. So again, this is another pick. I was really high on this kid. He went later than I thought.
Romeo, I seen he led the FBS and post routes. There's not much. A scouting player ain't got much on him, but it's like Jesse said, he gonna be a good overall player coming in. Packers have this thing where they gonna get receivers from like they gonna get like second, third receivers, all teams, and make them stars. Now, I say y'all can't, y'all do that. I can't, yeah. There's not much to say on this receiver. The next pick y'all got, the Wake Forest, they said he gonna do best as a center. He has short arms for a tackle, but they say he could do excellent at center if he on switch to that position. That he like 6'4", 305. So I guess like, that's like a center size for him. And he like the first receiver y'all got at UCLA. Both can come in and contribute immediately. Packers have always drafted good online, so Packers making some good, but we gonna see how they do picks. But what you think? What you think about the guard?
So Zach Tom from Wake Forest, like you were saying. I know, Jesse, I remember you wrote your offensive line preview article for Fitz, and Zach Tom was in that article. So is there anything you want to just rehash from that article that you'd like our listeners to hear?
Yeah, again, a typical Packer pick. Like TJ was saying, you know, like we find guys that are versatile. Like this guy played left tackle, a lot of football. This guy started like, what, 37 games, 38 games, somewhere in there. And they're like, oh, his best position might be center. So there's your versatility that Green Bay loves. You know, hey, this guy can move around. Good athlete. He tested great. I still think he can play a tackle. This is your swing tackle kind of guy. He's light. Like you said, I think he needs to get a little bigger, a little stronger. But honestly, just watching him play, I don't know how this kid is not a higher pick, how he fell to the fourth round. I just think his technique is awesome. You know, and now Green Bay knows how to develop guys. Well, the technique's there, you know, get him bigger, get him stronger. I think they found a heck of a player. I really do. I love this pick. This guy's going to play some football, probably not this year, you know, barring injuries, because we don't want to see injuries. But in 2 or 3 years, this guy might start.
Fourth round offensive lineman for the Packers, right? Like that is David Bakhtiari was a fourth rounder, if I remember that correctly.
Yep, nothing new, right? Yep, Green Bay and their fourth rounders.
And again, back to Dobbs, special teams, right? Like he's not someone that may contribute on offense very much year one, but if he helps upgrade the special teams to like legit special teams players as opposed to Henry Black. Black. But like if you can get those guys out there, even as a rookie, if he can – again, Rich Bisaccia, great offensive or great special teams coordinator here. So if these guys do have those capacities to play, they also got the coach to kind of coach them up and get them prepared, even as rookies.
Right. 100%.
Leon Kingsley out of South Carolina.
Yep. That's perfect transition, TJ, because that's where we're going to. It's funny because almost every Packers pick was actually basically the four same positions: defensive line, linebacker, wide receiver, O-line. Like they didn't take any defensive backs, didn't take any running backs. What do you pronunciation here? Kingsley. And apparently the Packers without Kingsley Kiki needed another Kingsley back on the defensive line, so that fills that gap. But Kingsley in Garbay.
Like Kingsley, we just like
I always want to
Garbay.
I always want to. I'm the Canadian me. I always want to roll the R's, but in Garbay, we'll say Kingsley in Garbay. So, like you said, South Carolina. TJ, what do you want to share about him?
6'4", 258, South Carolina. The Sky Report says he a good power rusher, but he lacks tackling. But like they said he a poor tackler, and he said they need to get his speed. He can get past the line. But it's like once he get past the line, they say he get lost in the shuffle. He get the thinking too much. But when if he hits you, he's a strong hitter. But he has poor tackling. They say he need to get his tackling up. He got a big upper body. Basically, like I said, he a strong ass rusher, which Green Bay needs. But I think they need to develop his tackling a little bit more. He need slim down just a little, and he'll be good. The next pick. Hybrid safety slash linebacker, Georgia Tech. They got him coming in just for special teams. Like if they need him play a hybrid linebacker for Green Bay, what's his name? Corey something out Georgia Tech.
Carpenter, Tariq Carpenter.
Like something like that. Well, yeah, them the next two. Jesse, what you think about
him? With Kingsley, I'm just gonna call him JJ because that's what he goes by. Because I don't want to butcher the last name. But again, another guy that a lot of boards had as a day two pick. So I think what really hurt him is he put on some weight, maybe just bad advice, and he had a leg injury, so he probably shouldn't have tested because his numbers weren't great. But now, if you put his numbers next to a guy named Za'Darius Smith and cut the hair, these guys are essentially kind of the same player coming into the league. Big power rushers that can move inside, rush from inside. Is he the best athlete? No. But he's got that powerful hands. He can rush from inside, get in, just he's in the backfield, right? He might get lost here and there, like you said, and might have to work on some technique. But he gets in there. A leader of this defense, this guy was a captain. If you're at South Carolina and you wear number one, you're the alpha. He wore it this year. I just go watch him play and you'll be like, why is this guy in the fifth round? I think he can eat up some snaps early, you know, not going to be a starter, obviously, but you know, a couple rushes here and there, really strong against the run. He can set the edge. It's a good football player. He needs some work, but he's got really long arms. His game's all power. Well, the strength is there. So if you just get a little bit more, you got a nice rotational player here. I love the pick.
It's pronounced Enagbre. Enagbre.
That sounds good.
Yeah. Kingsley Enagbre. I will say NFL.com is one of the best things for that. They actually do have it's not the phonetic alphabet, but the phonetic pronunciation of all the rookies coming in their draft profiles. That's one of the only sites I've noticed that actually does that. So shout out to NFL.com, which is usually not that great of a website. But NFL draft stuff, they're pretty good for, I got to say. So shout out to them. And Kingsley Enagbre, which I now finally understand how to say. So thanks, NFL.com. Sorry, I didn't research before. So I guess the last thing to talk about, the last round, the Packers had 4 7th round picks. We already talked a bit about Tariq Carpenter. TJ was kind of saying the hybrid linebacker safety. I mean, I don't think you can just expect, okay, your 7th round pick is going to be your nickel corner, but that is kind of the one area in the defense that still needs to be addressed. But again, if he can upgrade special teams at all, that makes it worth it. But quickly, we'll run through all four of those players. So we got Tariq Carpenter, officially listed as a linebacker. Then Jonathan Ford, a defensive tackle. We've got another offensive lineman, Rashid Walker. And then finishing with another receiver, Samori Toure. So offensive line, wide receiver, they spend 3 selections on both those positions. Again, maybe they agree with us, Jesse, that was a position of need, or those were positions of need. So TJ,
right.
Jonathan Ford, Rashid Walker, Samori Toure. Is there any of those three guys you want to discuss?
Jonathan Ford is 335 pounds. He got to drop some of that. They said he's slow getting our blocks. They said he a powerful nose tackle. They said basically they got him just being a body there to take up the middle.
Yeah, he's a big body. He's a space eater, you know, 7th round, just like you're saying, just a big dude.
Yeah, Rashid Walker, what he play? Tackle. They say, I don't know if he had knee surgeries or knee problems, but they say he got he not stable when it comes to being a pass blocker. They say he get off balance. He need to hold his ground more and not let powerful edge rushers get to him. They said that's the problem he got. And the last one, but he a good blocker, though. He played for Penn State. You know where there's a lot of hard-nosed hitters. But they said the only thing Rashid Walker need to do is be more stabilized on blocking. Samori, is how you say Samori Toure?
Yep, that's exactly right.
So let's see. They said he a good deep ball catcher. He just need – and he a open – they said basically he need work on receiver out of Nebraska. That's 2 Nebraska receivers y'all got. No, Nevada. And Nebraska, my bad. They said he needs to just work on being more competitive and being more physical. But he a good open – he like a special teams player to me.
Right.
The way he looked. But what you think, Jesse, of the last people?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's the 7th round, so you're taking some flyers here. I think Carpenter was an interesting pick because that guy is going to stick just because of special teams help right away. Played linebacker at Georgia Tech, but he's listed as a safety for us, so he's that big safety role that, you know, Kyle, we talked about some of these safety prospects that, you know, I thought Green Bay would be interested in early. Here's a late guy where, you know, 7th rounder, so I'm not expecting him to come out there and just, hey, fit him right in. He's going to play great defense, but, you know, he can play linebacker, he can play safety, and he can play special teams. So that's what I saw there. Same thing with what you said about Ford. He's a big dude. He played all the line stuff on special teams where, hey, we had a lot of block kicks last year. So if he can just help there and he's on the roster, sign me up. Walker, another guy that played a lot of football, some injuries, but that dude's a dog too. So I think that's a good flyer late, you know, might have to hide him on the practice squad or something, but, and then Toure, the wide receiver room's now kind of, it's got to get sorted out. So he's, I think, going to have a hard time, you know, just making the roster. But if you can stash him on the practice squad, if you like what you see, hey, when you get to this point, you're just getting guys that you see upside and get them into camp and see what you can get out of them.
I was going to say, the last time Packers took three receivers in a draft, it was Valdes-Scantling, the third one taken, that ended up being the guy that really produced, not the two other guys. I mean, Jamon Moore makes Equanimeous St. Brown look like an all-world player, and he was the first one taken. But Jamon Moore was a fourth-round pick, not a second like Christian Watson. So a bit of a different context here. For Ford, well, because it seems like you're saying, Jesse Carpenter, he's kind of versatile skill set, good football player, should contribute on special teams right away. But if Ford and Walker, especially Ford, I think if he needs to make special teams to make this team, if what you're saying, TJ, is that he's slow to get off blocks, like, you don't want just a space eater on special teams. That's okay on defense, especially if you got Kenny Clark around him. You can maybe manage that work. But I don't really want a guy like Jonathan Ford on special teams, though. So that would be a tough thing where it'd be really tough for him to crack that part of it just because of the nature of his ability, getting, you know, slow off blocks, you know, not so great in space, really big guy, like you were saying, really needs to drop the weight. So those are things that he has to work on this summer, probably to make this team. Because unlike, say, Walker as a tackle or Toure as a wide receiver, you're maybe more willing to put both those guys on the practice squad because of the position of importance. A defensive tackle, you know, if you've got enough room on the practice squad, sure, but that's not someone you're necessarily going to prioritize on the practice squad either. So he might be like the Ford might even, you know, even more so than the two guys drafted after him. Ford probably has to make the biggest jumps in the offseason programs to make the roster. If that's fair, I don't know. Maybe I'm seeing it wrong. And the one thing about Walker.
No, just, it makes sense.
Okay.
Well, go ahead.
Well, thanks for confirming that, Jesse. It makes me feel good. But my question about Walker is, because he's so good at blocking and the pass protections are the issue, does he profile more as a guard in the NFL, even though he's listed as a tackle?
I don't know. I kind of like him as a tackle just because he kicks out really nice. But like TJ was saying, you know, I think a lot of it was balance and, you know, some issues with that. He's in a good room. You know, he's with a good coaching staff where I think, you know, that's something where, hey, let's see if we can work on his footwork and help him out. I don't see him much as a guard. I kind of see him as a pure tackle, but hey, what do I know?
DJ, what do you think of what I'm saying? Like my theory of a guard, do you agree with Jesse that he should be a tackle, just needs to refine some technique?
I think they're going to work on him at tackle, but if he can't keep his balance, they're going to move him to guard. He can play guard. He looks like he can play guard, but they're going to work with him at tackle. But if he wants to stay on the roster, I think he's going to have to move the guard. Safety reasons, Wallace, if he wants to stay on the roster. So I'm going to have to say they're going to put him at guard.
Because I'm wondering about, okay, so lack of balance, is there something about his technique? Like, is his stance not wide enough, or is it just the physicality? To where, you know, if he's having trouble staying balanced in college, I'd imagine that only gets worse in the NFL against NFL pass rushers.
No, the thing is, it's like he rushed towards the dude. Like, you know how you got to let them come to you? He one of the people he goes towards them, but he get one of them, like, skilled edge rushers that can overpower him. I think that's where the him being stable part comes in. He get out of place, but that's why I feel like he going to be put at guard. But, Jesse, what you think?
No, I agree. I don't think it's an issue with power or anything. I think it's, you know, a lot of it's technique where, you know, he's reaching a little bit and getting away from his center of gravity. But as far as strength and aggression, he's got it. You know, he's got that block that they kept talking about and showing. You can go find it yourself how he finishes. So, you know, there was a little bit of character stuff that he did, but he's aggressive and he's physical.
Okay, because I again, part of me was thinking, okay, if the especially late in the seventh round, if you can just get a contributing offensive lineman that's even just a depth piece, regardless of if it's tackle or guard, you're probably happy with that from the Packers' perspective. I think this is I think this is really great insight on all these Packers picks. So were there anything that Jesse or TJ, we'll start with the guest again. TJ, is there anything you wanted to kind of say to finish this Packers draft talk?
Hello, everybody. This is who going to be listening. I hope it's a lot of people. This is TJ McKinley. You can find me on Twitter at Mr. TJ Savage. I am up and comer in podcasting. I'm just glad that y'all had me on.
Well, we were glad to have you on. Sorry, Jesse.
I need to start saying, I'm a business economics major, and I'm a sophomore about to be a junior. So anybody out there looking for an internship or who need an intern, just hit me up in the DMs at Mr. TJ Savage. For having me on.
Of course. And I mean, having a name like Savage, like we've already got Darnell Savage on the Packers. So it's a natural fit.
Yeah, good stuff.
Sorry if I'm a little savage with the jokes. I didn't think we were overly savage on these players. I thought it was fair analysis, talking about their strengths and weaknesses. I thought we did a really good job to objectively kind of analyze that. So as Jesse mentioned, we really appreciate you coming on, TJ. And of course, we, as always, appreciate the listeners who listen to us here. And you can follow us on Twitter at @FPC_Packers. Also, your co-host individually, Jesse's at Hall_JHall1212. I'm at Senra Says. As always, download the Full Press Coverage app, available for free on Android and iOS stores. Gives you access to all of the great Full Press Coverage content, whether it's written articles, podcasts, or access to the Full Press Radio Network. And again, that's all for free on the Full Press Coverage app, so download today. Shout out to PA the Second, who's on Twitter at @PA_IIOfficial. He lets us use the song For Your Body as our intro and outro music, which in a sense is really appropriate. We talked a lot about players' bodies today, height, weight, and things like that. So it's also just a great tune. I really appreciate PA for everything he does and again, allowing us to have a really good intro outro music to this podcast. So again, thank you, TJ. Really appreciate you stopping by. And Jesse, any final words for the listeners?
Well, you know it. Go Pack, go.
That's right. Now that the draft is done, we're only a few months away from cheering that in real games. I mean, there's still mini camp, training camp to come. And of course, we'll keep you connected every step of the way here on the Full Press Packers Pod.